Dr. Sharon Melnick. Let me give you her official introduction. So again, a book person. So I just loved Sharon's book. So I was like, oh my God, people need to. Oh, is it going by itself? Weird. Is there some sort of setting? Oh, I see. There's like a pause button. Got it. All right. So let me just check that this works. Okay, good. We're back to normal. Okay, great. Technology. All right. So let me officially introduce you. All right. So Dr. Sharon Melnick is a business psychologist dedicated to helping talented and successful people get out of their own way. Informed by 10 years of research at Harvard Medical School and trained in cutting-edge stress resilience techniques, she is a leading authority in helping business professionals move to the next level, and she literally wrote the book on it, Success Under Stress. So Dr. Melnick consistently receives rave reviews as a speaker and trainer from Fortune 500 companies to nonprofit organizations, and her trainings on resilience and influence in demanding times are delivered multiple times at organizations such as Procter & Gamble, GE, Merck, Pfizer, Bloomberg, and have been termed the right training at the right time by senior management. She'll show you how you can go from, I know what I need to do, but I'm not doing it, to results. So I'm really excited to welcome her to the stage. Welcome, Sharon.
So just the forward button?
Yeah.
We're good to go. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm just going to supplement a little bit those very powerful words of wisdom. Thank you so much, Kelly. And so any of you get nervous when you're speaking or when you're in front of a camera, that little fluttering butterfly feelings? Okay, we're all good. So I think it's page 134 of the book. I can't remember. But the panic reset button. Would that be of use to you? Okay, excellent. So if you take your thumb and you put it on the knuckle of your, it could be on either hand, but I just have this one. So on the knuckle of the inside of your third finger on the side, and then if you move it back a little bit, sort of towards your palm, so I'm taking my thumb and I'm moving it back. Can you see that? And then there's kind of like an indentation point there. And so if you press that, I call that the panic reset button. Basically what it does is that it activates a nerve. That goes to your heart. Now, there's a sac around your heart, and when you get nervous before speaking up in a meeting or presenting in a networking meeting or in front of the camera or that might hold you back from being on stage, that sac around your heart goes, right? And that's why we get the feeling. So all you have to do, no worries from now on, just press the panic reset button. You will relax that sac around your heart. You should, within a second, actually, you should notice. You should take a big breath, actually, and that will set off a cascade of a relaxation response in your body, and you are good to go, okay? All we need is tools, girls, right? Just power tools. So good morning. Very, very glad to be here. Thank you so much to Natalie for being a kind of a leading voice, leading women entrepreneurs to really bring value to the people around us. So what I wanted to talk about today is implementation is the theme that I've been hearing. So all this good stuff and how are we going to take it to where the rubber meets the road. And that's what I want to talk about with you this morning, how we can sort of get out of our own way so we can all get off the charts. So the first thing that I want you to do is I want you to choose what you think will be the most effective or make the most impact, one kind of action, like one thing that you can do, you know, from all the things that you learned yesterday and I'm sure that you'll learn many more for today. But just one action that you want to plan to take. Okay, so for whatever, whether it's a sort of a phone call or whether it's writing an email or getting an aspect of your website, it would just sort of one thing that you've really deemed this would really make the most impact and take me the furthest. And what I want you to do then is I want you to make a plan. I want us to make a plan sometime over the next week maybe of when specifically you are going to take action on that item. Oh, there's no builds in this, Natalie. It's just a PowerPoint. Okay, got it. So all good. So I want us to make a plan then, and I want you to really be specific about what is it that you're going to do and when is it that you are going to do it. And what is it going to take in order for you to make that happen? So do that now. Choose one thing that you think is going to be sort of the action that's going to make the biggest impact. I know that there's a million, but just as an example, and when you're going to do it over the next week. And do that now. So if we have a little Jeopardy music, we can cue it up now. That's good, actually, because it is going to lead to sort of money. Getting the right answer on this is going to lead to money. Okay, excellent. So this is just for purposes. Of course, you're going to take all of that you learned and you're going to put it into a plan, but this is just for purposes. Now what I'd like you to do. Very good. Thank you. So now what I'd like you to do is I want you to think about really realistically. Okay, so you just set a plan. I don't know, for whatever it is, you know, Thursday afternoon or whatever, I'm going to take X action, whatever it was. And now I want you to really think about kind of your past reality up until this moment. And when you've said to yourself in the past, oh yeah, I'm going to do this, or I need to do this, or I should do this, or I'm going to do this, or, you know, you got all excited and you left a seminar similar to this, right? And you said, I'm going to go home and I'm going to do all these things, right? And not to sort of drag the past into it, but we're going to just build some understanding here. And now I want you to think about kind of what happened, or what has often happened, or what might happen that might interfere with you taking that specific action that's going to give you the biggest impact to start getting off the charts, okay? And I really want you to be kind of identifying what that might be. And just noodle on that a little bit for a moment. And then let's really identify what that is, and then let's problem solve around it so that doesn't get in your way. Okay? So what I want to do is that I've identified that there's a number of ways that we kind of get in our own way, right? That I call these action blockers, right? And I've identified that there's 10 action blockers that might be very, very relevant for you. And what I want to do is I want to go through each of them and have you, you know, kind of note to self which type or types of action blocker are you. And then we want to help you to figure out what are the skills that you're going to need in order to, you know, remove those blocks from your path so that you can proceed. Okay? So that's what I want to do. What I'm going to do now is that I'm going to go through and I'm going to give you a description of each of the action blockers. And I want you to just to be thinking like, is that something that I do? Or do I know somebody who I could pass along this advice to? And let's just identify what type of action blocker are you. So I'm going to go through the first few here. So are you an avoider? So this is sort of classically what we think of as like a procrastinator, right? So that when you get to the moment, whenever it is that you identified this week, that you're going to take that action. So for you, it's when you get to that moment, it might be, I don't feel like it, right? Or it's, you know, I just, you can't get yourself motivated. It just will seem easier to do it tomorrow. And usually you can identify if you're an avoider if you use the word kind of too, like T-O-O, fill in the blank. It's too hard. It's too complicated. It's too boring. It's too complex. You know, just those kinds of things, and I just don't feel like it, right? Or it'll be easy. You know, I'll definitely get to this tomorrow. That would be a classic. If you're great at making excuses, you know, you can definitely consider yourself an avoider. Okay, and you know, for those of you, for most of you, you know, the first thing that probably came to your mind is, oh, I don't have time, right? What I'm trying to do here is really break it down for you. And I don't have time is not really an excuse. Like we all know, I'm not making the time, right? And so what we're trying to do is really dig a little bit under the hood and understand what is it that you're doing in your approach that's causing you to not have that time or to not feel like it, etc. So avoider, and in a sense, like all of the action blockers are avoiders, but this is the kind of the classic procrastinator, I just don't feel like it. And the idea there is that what you're going to need to do is that you're going to need to learn how to get motivated, right? How to motivate yourself, how to feel like it. And another thing that you want to learn to do actually is to really take it out of a situation of your own willpower. So if you are an avoider, a lot of times you are the bottleneck in the process, right? And so a good thing for you to be thinking about is to how to take yourself out of the process. So how to either delegate that or, you know, how to change your business model so that you're not the one who has to be doing the marketing. You know what I mean? If you have a craft, if you're really good at what you do, but you have a hard time with crafting the marketing message, then partner with someone who's really good at that or hire someone who's really good at that and take yourself out of the process. And that way you can just stay doing what you feel like doing. Another thing that you want to learn to do is that you want to learn how to shift your energy state so that you can call up feeling like doing it energy at any time, and you can get yourself into a state of motivation at any time. And those are the kinds of approaches that you'll need in order to not be an avoider, but instead be an action taker. Okay? So first thing to identify, am I an avoider? Okay. Second, are you a spinner? And I know what you're asking. You know, you might be, as we get to a couple into this, you might be saying, can I be more than one type? Yes, absolutely. But what you'll want to do is you'll want to identify which reason you are showing in the moment, because the point that I'm trying to make here is that all procrastinators are not alike. All action blockers are not alike. And that's why I'm trying to, you know, suggest to you that there are approaches, and I mean that there are different types. And it really matters, as you'll see, want you to pay attention that that it really is a different reason if you're an avoider than if you're any of the other types. So as soon as you know what your type is, then you have the power to build the skill set to keep you in motion. And that's kind of the idea there. So, second type, are you a spinner? Are you a spinner? Many of us are spinners. So if you're a spinner, you would know that because you are having a hard time getting focused, right? So you are going in a lot of directions, you're wearing too many hats, you have too many things to do, and you keep kind of chasing after the next, the newest, you know, the newest shiny new penny idea, right? But kind of the newest marketing tactic or the newest idea or the newest target demographic, or, you know, sort of like you have the idea of the week or the idea of the day or the new, you know, thing to do. And you haven't really committed and made a decision to any particular approach. So you're just spinning. You're kind of doing a little bit on a lot. And so it's kind of like you're... you know, you're carrying, like, if this is a kind of a funny analogy to a room, do in a room full of beautiful women, but like if we were doing a football analogy here, it would be like, you know, you're sort of carrying the football, you know, like 10 footballs each, like 5 yards down the field, but then you're not crossing the field goal line with any of them. And the rewards only come to you when you cross the field goal line, right? And you get into the end zone. That's when you get to do the end zone dance. Right? And, but that's where the money comes in, and that's where the reward, and that's where other people can find you to do partnerships, et cetera. So what you really want to do if you're a spinner is that you want to kind of become a heat-seeking missile. You know, you kind of want to become end zone focused. You want to develop an end zone mentality. Like, what is the one thing that I can work on that's going to get me across the finish line, right? And so that I can reap the rewards of that. You really want to develop more of a results orientation, because if you're a spinner, you're kind of staying in the process. And most people are staying in the spinning because you haven't really done enough of your homework to really know what is the unique value that I bring, what are the unique strengths that I have, what is my differentiation in the marketplace? And when I know all those things, then I can really know it's about positioning, If you're a spinner, it's really that you haven't identified a strong position in the market, because once you do so, then you can just continually, and then all of the kind of marketing tactics that you're learning today, you can really focus on, but, you know, building out your message, building out your traffic strategy, et cetera. But until you have that really clear, then you're all things to all people, right? And that is keeping you in the spinning. And what happens when you're a spinner is that you tend to be on the lookout for marketing strategies or opportunities that are going to give you kind of a quick fix, like, what tweet should I put out, or what post should I put, or what blog should I get out there? But it's kind of haphazard, right? It's not coming from a really clear positioning in the marketplace from which you can have a whole funnel. You're just, it's a little bit like you're kind of chasing after the get rich quick or the next client, and you're chasing after opportunities and tactics, and you're not really coming from a place of clarity. So that's what you want to do if you're a spinner, is that you really want to kind of do the internal work, do the clarity building work, so that you know who you are, what you have to offer, you're really clear about it, and then you build out the whole funnel from that. And that will keep you from, you know, kind of chasing the shiny new penny each week or each day. Got it? So are you a spinner? And when you're a spinner, it's a kind of a chronic state of frustration, right? Because, again, you're always going down the field in process, and you never feel like you're crossing the finish line. And that's why oftentimes when you're a spinner, you kind of look at the other women who have gone to seminars or hired a coach, or, you know, sort of similarly, you're trying to make it on your own. And like, why does it look so easy for them? You know what I mean? Why are they taking action and it's seeming so like such a struggle for me? Because you're a spinner. That's why. All good. Okay. So, are you a spinner? Oh my gosh. All good. Okay, so let's go on. Are you a pressure seeker? Are you a pressure seeker? If you're a pressure seeker, then you live with nostalgia for those days when you were in college, let's say, or you know what I mean, when you used to pull the all-nighter and kind of do it at the last minute, and wow, you could really, you know what I mean, at the last minute really create, you know, all of that energy and focus. And so if you're a pressure seeker, you essentially you leave it to the last minute, you create a crisis for you and everyone around you, right? And you continue to delude yourself, right? You continue to delude yourself that this is the way that you do it best. Yes? Oh, I work best under pressure. I work best under pressure, and I really am able to, you know, get it out at the last minute, and just because I'm not able to check the spelling on anything that I do, and just because, you know, I'm not able to, like, take a step back and really, like, examine whether this is really what I wanted to say, I get it in at the last minute. It's all good. So if you are a pressure seeker and you feel like you can't motivate yourself to get started, then you want to be aware of that, right? And what you want to do is that you want to be able to develop the skills to create a sense of urgency, to create a sense of steadily working on something rather than leaving it to the last minute. You may even want to create a start-by deadline rather than just a finish-by deadline. So if you are a pressure seeker, you need to build kind of the self-regulation to be able to create more of a sense of excitement and build more clarity up front so that you know what it is that you have to do and you're not just leaving it to the last minute. Are you a pressure seeker? All right. Are you a learner? Are you a learner? You're clearly all lifelong learners here because you're here. But I mean, are you a learner? And I mean that in the sense of, are you always thinking to yourself, I need to learn more before I can get started? I need to know more before I can get started. I don't know enough yet. I need to know it all before I can get it started. I know you. Yes, I do. did I mention that I was every one of these type of action blockers for you? but, you know, I made the mistakes for you. Did I mention that? Oh, yeah. Well, we've just begun. Yeah. I've been every one of these type of action blockers. That's why I know you, from the inside out. So are you a learner? Are you a learner? So what you're doing if you're a learner is that you're perpetually in learning mode, right? And you feel like you can't get started because you don't know it all. And so you're sort of not focusing on the first step and only what it is that you need to know in order to get started on the first step. You're focused on needing to know it all. Now, it is important, I'm sure, that, you know, Natalie and the faculty here has given you, you know, sort of a sense of perspective and the roadmap and the blueprint. So it is helpful to have somewhat, you know, of an idea of the big picture. But when you're a learner, you're always looking at what other people are knowing and what other people are doing, and you're always thinking that you don't know enough. And so what you want to do is that you want to be more disciplined and more objective about your learning so that you are only focused on what it is that you need to know for now. You're learning that so that you can get started, and that you are learning and that you want to focus your learning on figuring out what you need to learn by taking action and then seeing what you need to learn at the next step, and then taking more action and seeing what you need to learn at the next step, rather than some sort of vague, undefined universe, which is I need to know it all or I need to be all things to all people in order to get started. So what we do as a learner is we sort of compress time. And we sort of feel like we need to know the whole thing and do the whole thing before we even get started, rather than seeing any business growth, any action, any development of a website or developing of a marketing funnel as a series of milestones along the way. So uncompress it. Are you a learner? Okay. Let's keep going. Yes. Okay. I know the heads are, yes, I am a perfectionist. Okay. So, are you a perfectionist? Right. I knew it. So, are you a perfectionist? How would you know if you're a perfectionist? You would know if you are always thinking to yourself, you need to do more before you can send it out. It's not ready yet. You're concerned about what other people might be thinking, right? You're judging it through the lens of what other people might be thinking about you and how they might be evaluating it. You would know you're a perfectionist, the telltale sign, if you are doing it and redoing it and redoing it. And you're sort of in a game of law of diminishing returns. Like with each, you know, small, you know, iteration that you're doing, it's taking up time, but it's really not getting you any better results. So are you a perfectionist? If you are a perfectionist, then you really need to develop more objectivity about when things are ready to go, like when it serves the purpose, when it will fulfill on providing the information that is necessary for your prospect to make a choice, whether it is right for them to work with you or not. That's really the only choice that your information needs to lead them to. So when whatever it is that you're doing will lead them enough to that decision, that's when it's fulfilled its purpose, as opposed to it needing to be, you know. But you really want to know a little bit about your perfectionism so that you know how to deal with it. I mean, some of you in the room may just be, you know, may just have a gift for what it is that you do. You know, if you're an interior decorator, or if you're a photographer, you're some sort of creative professional, you know, you may just have like a vision of things that the rest of us, like in our human plane, we just can't see. You know what I mean? So for you, every detail in your event planning or every detail in what it is that you're doing has to be perfect in order, you know, sort of like an Italian designer, you know what I mean, the big personality, like, you know, you sort of like, it just has to be perfect, you know, in that way. And if that's the case, then, like, God bless you. You know, you have a gift that others of us don't have, or we have in our own craft, shall we say. And if that's the case, then you have that gift, and you want to unleash it, and you want to let it roam free, and you want to be able to, you know, sort of like really be able to fulfill on your vision. But then you really have to be careful about how it is that you're spending your time and how it is that you're treating other people along the way. And you, so you want to celebrate that and you want to use it, but you want to be aware about kind of how you're expressing it in the world. So we don't want to take away your gift, but you do want to be more intentional about it and know that you might be driving other people crazy or that you might be, you know what I mean? It's sort of like use it in the moment to fulfill on the purpose, but don't kind of take it everywhere in your life. Maybe that's a way to think about it. Or you also want to know, you know, where is that perfectionism coming from? Is it coming from a kind of a doubt or a confidence issue in yourself where you're really very worried about what other people are going to think about you so that you really have to, it's a way of controlling other people's perceptions of you because you think, I want them to think well of me. I want them to think I'm perfect. I therefore need to put all this effort into making what it is that I put out into the world perfect, so that's the perception that they'll have of me. And we're actually going to talk a little bit more about this later on, but the idea there is that you're putting a lot of time and energy and attention into managing other people's perceptions and not into creating value for your clients. And that's really what's going to grow your business for you. So it's not about managing other people's perceptions. It's really focusing on how can you bring value. So are you a perfectionist? Are you objective? When you're a perfectionist, you're usually, it's more about what are people going to think about me? And it's not about objectively, is the work that I'm doing providing the value that I need to provide? Are you a perfectionist? Are you a prioritizer, missing an eye? Are you a prioritizer? So in some ways, being a prioritizer is a very good way of being because you're saying of all the things that I have going on, then I am choosing to do certain things that I am deeming more important and I'm choosing not to do things that are less important. So in some ways, it's very effective to be a prioritizer. We'd probably be encouraging you to be a prioritizer. But you really also want to put it in context because sometimes you're really focusing on something that's a priority. Like let's say there's some work-related, you know, something that you're putting on, but then everything else is getting neglected. Other things that are important, like health checkups or, you know, or people that are important in your life or other aspects of your business, like the financial or legal or whatever aspects of it is. So it's just, if you are a prioritizer, it's all good. We actually want you to be prioritizing, but you also have to look at things in the whole context. What's right in the short term, what's right in the long term, and just make sure that even though you are prioritizing, you're actively choosing, but are you communicating that to the people around you? Are you causing some problem down the line by prioritizing what's important to you right now? So are you a prioritizer? Are you a dreamer? Are you a dreamer? So if you're a dreamer, you've had a vision of this business. I see some smiles out in the audience there. Some nervous laughter. You've had a vision of your business. You've had a vision of where it is that you want to go. And you've been talking about it with people for a while. Problem is, you're all talk, no action. Are you all talk, no action? So if you're a dreamer, you have the great ideas. You're the visionary. You enroll people around you, right? But you don't necessarily have the skill yet of how to take that big dream and that vision and to break it down into its component parts so that you can get started. You have a hard time thinking about what needs to happen first and what needs to happen next and what are the steps number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 through 10, right? So it's people think it's great. People want to be around you, but left to your own devices, you've been having a hard time getting started. So what you need to do is you need to figure out how to break it down into its component parts, figure out what the order is, or work with someone who's going to help you to be able to do that, and then to keep yourself accountable along the way. Are you a dreamer? Are you a starter? Are you a starter? So great, no problem getting started, but then you have all these balls in the air, right? And then you're juggling a lot of things, and then you haven't been able to finish, and again, you know, sort of cross that finish line on any of them. So great at getting started, but then you lose momentum, or you hit obstacles and you don't know what to do and you don't know who to ask, and then things sort of fade and fall by the wayside, and so you have a bunch of started projects along the way. Are you a starter? Do you have ADD? Are you distracted? Is it environmentally induced, or is it wiring in your brain? May have the same effect. So are you a distractor? So you do you allow other people to interrupt you and soak up your time? Do you allow yourself to get bogged down in the minutiae of the day? Do you kind of bleed your answering of emails all day long? Do you, go on to one of the social media sites to make one post, and then 2 hours later there's been like a massive, you know, vacuum time-sucking sound? Are you a distractor? So are you not able to really focus your attention on any one thing so that you can kind of think systematically about what is most important, really start something, complete it? Are you constantly, you know, and then having that feeling of freneticism and kind of reactivity during the day? And you start your day with a well-intentioned to-do list and finish your day saying, where did the day go? Are you a distractor? And finally, are you a protector? When I say a protector, what I really mean is, are you protecting your own self-esteem and confidence level? So are you concerned about what other people are going to think about you if you put out into the world whatever it is that you're doing? Are you concerned what people are going to think if you put your fee out there, right? Concerned what people are going to think if you put a blog post out there that is controversial? Are you concerned what people are going to think that you might get criticized, or that you might be rejected if you ask someone, you know, maybe who you know personally, if they want to do business with you? Are you out there, you know, putting your time and energy and attention into kind of worrying? Are you saying to yourself, what will people think? I'm not ready yet because I'm concerned about what people are going to think about me. If so, then what you're doing is you're sort of protecting your level of confidence, right? And you are seeking others' approval, and you're managing others' perceptions of you, and that's where your time and energy and attention is going to, instead of putting yourself out there and, you know, getting the rewards of that. So are you a protector? Now, one of the things I hope you can appreciate, can you see now that there are many different ways that you can block yourself from taking action, right? Can you see? How many of you were, you know, sort of one specific type? How many of you were multiple types? Okay. Got it. We're in good company. Okay, got it. So can you see that there are really different reasons that are causing you to not take action? And what you want to know then is, you know, specifically in the moment, what have more self-awareness and what is going on for me in the moment? And then what you want to do is that you want to build the specific skill sets. I tried to give you an idea of, you know, what it is that you'll need to do in order to move past that action block. And you want to build the skill set around each of those blocks so that you, when you get to the moment, first of all, so that you can prevent ever getting into the moment. Like if you have clarity, you'll never be a spinner again, right? And then you also want to have a toolkit of what you can do when you get into the moment. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm being a spinner. Oh, yeah, I'm being a learner. Oh, yeah, I'm being a perfectionist. You want to have ways of talking yourself through in that moment. So if you want to really kind of diagnose for yourself, if you will, just go to this link. There's a quiz there for you. And for anybody who wants to really build the skill sets in a customized way for any of the action blocker types that you are, then it will send you information. And I have a program actually which I'm beta testing right now. So for any of you who want to, it's called the Action to Income program. And we go through and I give you the customized skill set for each one of those action blocker types, and it has some coaching opportunities in a group as well, and it's very, very affordable right now because I'm beta testing it. So if that would be helpful for you, please come along and join, and that would be my real privilege to help you implement what it is that you are learning here today. Got it? Okay, some notes to self, and then we're going to go on next. Okay. So what is it that we have to work with when we're talking about taking action? How many of you heard this? How many thoughts does a human being have a day? Normally, this is supposed to come out with a build, but okay. We give the answer away. How many thoughts does a human being have a day? Okay, got it. Now, every one of those thoughts is either in the service of the results that you want to create or takes you further away from, right? Every one of those thoughts either takes you towards or takes you further away from. So I want you to just think to yourself, actually, how many of your 60,000 thoughts over the last week, let's just get an average or so, are helping you go towards the results that you want, and how many are taking you further away? How many are going towards any of those action blocking types? Okay, anyone want to give me a guesstimate? Half and half, 50-50? 50-50? Okay, got it. So, but even if we were a little more conservative, even if we said maybe 70% of those thoughts are going towards the results that you want to create, pretty productive, you know, maybe more than half, and 30% away. Even if we said that, right, that's still 20,000 thoughts a day. 20,000 thoughts a day, a third of your thoughts, multiplied times 1 week, that's 140,000 thoughts that you left on the table this week, which you could have other. What could you do? Which of the actions that Natalie gave you could you have implemented if you had an extra 140,000 thoughts over last week or this coming week? Got it? So what you really want to do is that you want to take control, more control over, and really be much more intentional about you know, what you're putting your attention onto and how you are talking to yourself. So what I call this is kind of a being a better DJ of your own mental iPod. And so I have an audio training that can show you step by step how to break down every one of those thoughts and take it from, you know, unfocused, distracted, negative, worried, whatever it is, and making your thoughts very focused and positive and really moving you forward with impact. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to, because we started a little bit late this morning, I'm going to use a little less of my time. So I'm going to skip over this section. And but I did just want to let you know, I had a link in there. I'm not sure what happened. But it's SharonMelnick.com/60K gift. 60K gift. SharonMelnick.com/60K gift. 60K gift. And that's where it's a 35-minute audio training. It takes you step-by-step, very detailed analysis of how you change those thoughts and how you make every one of them in the service of who it is that you want to be. And the panic reset button and some of the techniques that I've been talking about are detailed in the book, Success Under Stress. I do have some for any of you who want to take it home at the break. Okay, so the final thing that I want to go over here is I just want to share with you, remember I alluded to a little bit before that I might have like done a little bit of action blocking in my own life? Well, I wanted to just share with you a story and some things that I've learned around along the way about how important it is to really put yourself out there and to take action. And one thing that I will say, actually, as long as I'm talking about the book here for the moment, is this is something that I really didn't even appreciate until the book came out. My book just came out about 3 months ago or so. And is that your whole life will change as you put something out into the world that is concrete, that you put into the material world that people can search for you around. I get calls from all around the world from people like I would have never even known existed asking me to come and speak for them because they can find me now on the internet, right? In a way, because there's something that I've put into the material world that's concrete, that I can say, that you can touch, that I can say to people. And I'm just saying that everything has changed. I've given 41 speeches in the last 2.5 months. Got it? And I'll show you some of the places that I've been speaking. And my absolutely personal hero idol, who's living right now, is Arianna Huffington. Got it? You know her? Love her. She's so out front on this success under stress issue, and she is doing a conference in New York City on June 6th with Mika Brzezinski, you know, of The Morning Joe, and it's all about redefining success and how our success has been a very male model of power and money and working long hours, and how can we really redefine it with a woman's model? Email from Arianna Huffington asking me if I would speak at her conference. Best professional email of my life, because I had something in the material world that she could search me for. Are you getting this? Are you getting this? Okay? So I've been speaking. I've been working with clients. I've been doing this for years. You know what I mean? But I never received an email from Arianna Huffington. You know what I mean? Because I was speaking and working with clients. So whatever it is that you're working on, get the website out, get the ebook, get the blog, get the whatever it is that you're, you know what I mean, that you're doing, start speaking. Get yourself out there in a way that is material, that people can touch, that people can link, that people can point to. It will change everything for you. So this action blocking thing is serious, and let's get you in motion. And so I want to tell you just a little bit of how it is that I got here. Actually, I need this. It all started with a rock concert. And the specific day of the rock concert was August 13, 2000, but you know, who's counting? And the reason that I remember this date is that I actually very uncharacteristically got to the rock concert. It was down in D.C. early, and so there was like barely anyone there. So I took my seats that were general admission all the way in the back, and I went all the way up in the front because that's where a little cluster of people were. And I was just hanging out, and I looked to my left, and I saw a face that I knew. Tipper Gore, 2000, right? So they were still in the White House at the time. Tipper Gore. And so I started talking with Tipper Gore, and I went right up to her and I said, "Hi, my name is Dr. Sharon Melnick. I do research at Harvard Medical School, and you might be interested in the research that I do." And it was on the research that I was doing at the time was on intergenerational issues, what you bring with you from your own childhood into your parenting in the next generation. I developed these methods to help people, you know, sort of break the pattern. And that's why I know a lot about how we get in our own way, because I understand the patterns that we bring with us into our relationships, into our work, into our effectiveness in the world. So, you know, Dr. Sharon Melnick, and, you know, we started talking. Her daughter Sarah was at Harvard. It was like total estrogen bonding moment. You know what I mean? And very interested in your work, and, you know, we do a lot with domestic violence and mental health, and you could be helpful, blah, blah, whatever. So, you know, so a few minutes into it, she turns to her chief of staff, Melissa. She says, "Melissa, would you take down her contact information? We're going to invite her to the White House and have her share the kind of the policy implications of her research." So I'm like, you know, speaking of end zone dance, you know, I'm like sort of, you know. And lo and behold, a few weeks later on a Monday evening, 6:30 beginning, but again, you know, who remembers the specifics? And I was on my way out the door to go for a run. It was in September. I remember it vividly. And the phone rings and I'm like, you know, okay, a little procrastination on the run, no worries. And pick up the phone, and who do you think it is? Melissa, right? So we talk for a while, and so she's telling me about the initiatives that the White House has going on to support women and violence and mental health and all these kinds of things. We'd really like to invite you down to the White House. Keep up with the story here. Really like to invite you down to the White House in order to share the policy implications of your work, right? So I'm telling her about my work and all. Got it? So what do you think I said? Of course I said no. I didn't actually say no. I said, "Well, let me get back to you, and I need to know more of the research, and let me figure it out." And but essentially, I said no. I said no. Got it? Now, why did I say no? People are like gasping, their heart is palpitating. I see. I got it. Okay. Why did I say no? Yes. The answer is yes. All of the above. Every one of those action blockers, right? So because I had been doing all those action blockers, I wasn't ready in the moment. And also, clearly, did I feel like I deserved a seat at the table? No. Okay. Got it? Oh, thank you. You know something, honey? Honey, it's all good. Because want to know where I've been saying yes to, you know, speaking these days? Okay. So here, whoops. Okay. Here are some of the places that I've been speaking these days. Okay. So we're all good. And Arianna Huffington is sort of this, we're, you know, with the cherry on top. So we're good to go. Okay. And there were a lot of years subsequent to that where people were getting in their own way and they could have used my help. But unfortunately, the call didn't come during those years. But let's not get into that. Okay. So, the idea that I want to talk about here is that what I was doing at the time, so clearly I was an action blocker, right? But also, I want to make a distinction between what was going on for me, that there's two kinds of people when it comes to confidence. One is a confidence seeker, and the other is a confident contributor. So I was a confidence seeker, meaning that I thought it was cool to be able to say that I got a call from Tipper Gore, and I thought it was, cool the research that I was doing. But when it came to the moment, did I have confidence in myself that I really had something of value to offer? No. Clearly, I didn't. So I was prejudging myself. I was saying I don't have something of value to offer. I didn't even give them the opportunity to get me in the room and say, yes or no, we think what you have is to offer, you know, is valuable to offer. So I was prejudging. And I was spending my time where I was seeking other people's approval. I was expecting perfection. So probably I had, you know, probably 100 things that I could have said in that room that would have been very helpful to them. But because we devalue what it is that we know. And I'm like, well, I already know what I know, so it's not valuable. Right? We do that to ourselves rather than, like, actually, this could be very helpful to you because I've spent 10 years studying this. So it was my perfectionism, and it was my worrying about what they were going to think about me, and it was my prejudging whether I deserved a seat at the table and had value to offer or not. And the truth is that I was actually procrastinating because I really wanted to be further along in the research and have it more written up so that I would be able to better summarize the research findings. And I wasn't at that point yet because I had been a spinner and I was going in all directions and I was doing all the action blocks. So when the moment came, when Oprah calls you, you know what I mean? And you need to be ready is the idea, right? So you need to be taking action. What I wasn't yet, and now feel like I am, is a confident contributor. So a confident contributor is somebody who's really focused on the value that you can bring, right? That you're focused on the value that you can bring, and you're not focused on what people are thinking about you. You are getting your rewards through your accomplishment. You're not getting your rewards from compliments or wondering, you know, what people are thinking about you or getting people to validate you or getting people to appreciate you. You're getting your rewards through the contribution that you make. And when you make a contribution, you get the rewards, right? You earn more. You meet cooler people. You get to go places and speak. I've been to Europe twice already on companies' dimes, right? And I take vacations, you know, as extensions when I'm there. When you're a confident contributor, like, you have more of the things that you want in your life, and you have that feeling inside that you can exhale, like you've arrived, like you are just loving it, right? And that's really what it is that we're going for. And you feel like you can be out in front and you can have an opinion, and that's what people will pay you for, is to have an opinion, to have a perspective, to use your knowledge to help them understand their own challenges. That's what people will pay you for, right? So you feel able to sort of speak those things and to be out in front. And you're taking action because you believe in yourself. Got it. Thank you. So I want to very quickly go through kind of a framework of this was the research that I was doing at Harvard Medical School at the time that I was like, oh, yeah, you know what I mean? It's right in front of you. And you're like, oh, this describes me. And, you know, and then I kind of learned my lessons and have been sharing it with clients who have been, you know, off the charts in terms of their results ever since. Here's the DJ. There we go. Okay. That's the link. I didn't realize I put it later on. I'm going to skip over this and I'm going to go right to the framework. Okay, so how did I go from seeking approval to accomplishing? Again, this was, I often do this as a build, so it's a little hard, but let me just show you what this is supposed to look like. So what we're all trying to get to is to be confident and secure, right? So that we're taking action, we believe in ourselves, and our time and energy and attention is going towards bringing value. That's where we all want to be, right? And at any given moment, we are down here. And to the extent that you have a doubt in yourself, to the extent, so some of you, maybe you're good to go. Some of you maybe have kind of a large pocket of self-doubt. Some people, maybe it's just a small one. But to any extent that you have a doubt about yourself, then we could say you're down here. This is kind of your evaluation of yourself at any given moment. And the idea is that to the extent that you have a doubt about yourself, even if you have objective accomplishments to point to, which I'm sure you do, but there's just that still, that questioning, that comparing yourself to other people, you know, still wondering, then you have that pocket of doubt. And then by definition, you can't be there because you're here. But we're all trying to get there, right? This is like everybody wants to feel this. So here's what most of us will do, is we'll put our time and our energy and attention, and we'll act towards other people in the hopes that other people will act towards us so that we can feel secure and confident. And let me give you a few examples of what I mean by this. So there's two very common forms of this that I see ways that my clients get in their own way. So one thing that we do is that we put our time and energy and attention into trying to get other people to think well of us. So this is the perfectionism, right? This was the self-criticism. This is the kind of doing favors for everyone else, which is great. I encourage you to be generous, but then not going to the gym yourself or not getting done your most important thing to grow your business. This is second-guessing yourself or what other people want to hear from you. And all of these behaviors that might get in your own way, right, might block you from taking that action, and all in the hopes that other people will validate you, reassure you you're making the right choices, appreciate you, approve of you, etc. All of the people-pleasing kinds of behaviors would be considered here. So just note to self if this describes you. And the point that I'm trying to make here is that you see it's a very indirect route to try to get to where we're going to. Can you see that? It's indirect. All that time and that energy and attention, maybe, you know, volunteering for things that aren't really in the direct path of what you want to contribute in the world. So I want you to just note to yourself, what are some of the behaviors that you're doing that are kind of these approval-seeking kinds of behaviors? So I actually had a client. She was an entrepreneur. She had a financial firm, and very perfectionistic, very self-critical of herself, would really grind and do things over and over and over again, kind of drove her staff crazy. She would... and before she became my client, you know, I was sort of in her network. She would send out personalized handwritten notes to everyone that she met, but like all the time. I mean, it's like very special to do that, like for, you know, the right, but you know, just, and she was in a networking group and she would give out referrals all the time and, wasn't getting them back and was just tolerating, you know, this situation. There were just a lot of things, that she was doing. And that weren't leading her to have the kind of business that she wanted. So she was waking up at 5 in the morning and working till 11 o'clock at night. And she came to me when she snapped in front of her kids in public because she just was up to here. You know what I mean? She just was working so hard, not having the results that she wanted. I'll come back to her in a minute, actually. So that's one example. And then the other very common pattern. I didn't see that. 5, got it. And then the other... So what you want to do, really, is you want to go direct, right? Is that you want to put your time and energy and attention into the value that you bring and be much more strategic about how it is that you are spending your time. So that we talked together about, you know, where was she really getting the most traction with clients, and she put her time and energy, so she actually raised the bar of her minimum of people that she was working with. And she actually said something to the people in her networking group. And so she made sure to be effective. She helped them to really how they would describe what it is that she does. And she said, you know, there really is an equity here. I'm really giving out a lot more than, and that was, you know, she was terrified to say that, but we worked on scripting it out. She got almost $100,000 worth of business from that networking group that year after she started doing that. And from putting her efforts into the things that were going to bring her the most traction, she put $50,000 of new business in her pocket in the first 4 months. She spent 2 afternoons a week with her kids because she was much more strategic in how she was spending her time and energy and attention. And when the largest syndicated radio show contacted her to come speak on their show, she had that lying in her email for a month before she came to work with me. And we pulled out that email, we answered it, and she's been doing a ton of press ever since then. So just an example of when you go direct, she just started focusing on what's the value that I can bring and who is it that I want to be. And she started focusing on, instead of worrying about what people were going to think when she raised her fees and she raised the bar, she just started focusing on, she quantified the benefit that she brings to her clients in all the aspects of their life by them, you know, earning more and saving more and the peace of mind and how that was going to reverberate in their own lives. And then she kind of looked at it and all the value that she brings to her network. And then she was like, wow, like I really do. You know what I mean? She really started to own her value. And then, so really focus on the end user. Don't focus on yourself. Take yourself out of it. It's not about you. It wasn't about me. You know what I mean? At the White House table, it was about, they really could have used all the 10 years of knowledge, you know what I mean, that I developed to help them with their programming. Focus on your end user. Don't focus on yourself. Cut out the middleman is the idea. And then the final thing that I'll say is the other form of pattern that I see, and this is exactly what I was doing, is that when I said no, I was putting my time and energy and attention into preventing other people from criticizing and rejecting me. So the first form of that indirect is getting other people's approval. This form is preventing other people's disapproval, because that's equally as important, isn't it? And that's what I was doing by saying no, is that I was preventing getting into that situation and, you know, my speculation, at least, that they would think that I wasn't good enough. So there, my actions were preventing them from criticizing and disapproving of me. It's almost like a double negative. It's like if you go to a meeting and you have something very valuable to say in a networking meeting and you don't speak up. Why are you doing that? Because you're preventing other people from criticizing you. That's the idea. So you're taking control. You're like, I'm just simply not going to give you the opportunity. Wait, what's the right pose? What's the best way? What's the only way to prevent what I think you're going to criticize me? So what's the best way of dealing with that is just to prevent even ever getting into that situation. What's a better way, right, is to develop more objectivity. I mean, I've gotten plenty of critique, you know, along the way, and I really sift through that, and I say, you know, what's really helpful and objective? Thank you so much. Yeah, you just, like, that was free therapy. Thank you so much. You just saved me, like, $200. I think I'll go buy some shoes. And then I also sorted out, you know, thank you very much. That was really helpful. And then part of that, I think that was really more coming from you and your stuff and wasn't really so much about me. So I'm going to have compassion for you. We're all good. And I'm going to take what's really the kernel. So, rather than not putting yourself into the situation, again, kind of taking action, seeing what it is that you need to learn at the next step, taking the feedback, incorporating it in, and that's the whole idea, really, of going direct. Kind of knowing your worth, putting yourself out there, getting the feedback, and making it a constantly iterative process rather than it having to be perfect. The first speech that I ever gave, probably half disaster, half great, you know what I mean? But I've been doing it tons since then. And I use my panic reset button before I go on stage if I need to. So that's just what it is. It's a constant evolution. You don't have to be perfect sort of before you get started. And I think that's the whole idea of going from a confidence seeker where I was all frustrated and I was just kind of reacting to the opportunities and staying spinning in my own cycle. And what you want to do is you want to become a confident contributor where you're really focusing on the value that you're bringing. You're putting yourself out in a first iteration. You're getting feedback. You're getting better and better and better. And then you come to trust yourself. And then, you know what I mean, you come to really have that focus. You're clear about your positioning in the marketplace. And that's when the rewards are really coming, when you're being a confident contributor and not a confidence seeker. I see some of you are taking pictures. It's all good. I can make these slides available to you. So, in fact, I have a sign-up sheet. What I'll do at the break, if you're willing, I'll just send around a sign-up sheet and anybody who wants the slides or wants to stay in touch. And I do, if you want to make this transition and transform yourself from a confidence seeker to a confident contributor, I have a very, very affordable program that will enable you to do that. And it just breaks down the steps of the research that I did in the medical school. And you get a little bit of time with me. But this is a product that's off the market, actually. So I'm just offering this to you, and it's very affordable for you. So this is a way that you can do that. There we go. Right on time. Thank you so much for your attention.